Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Rick Maurer is our guest and our good friend. Rick is the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance and the book that has the title, It's My Constant Lament, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. I continue to say that, Rick. You know, everywhere I go, I keep asking people, why don't you want what I want? And
I know.
And they keep pushing me back on me. They keep resisting me. And what is it about? Well, you know, it's obviously not me. It's not about me.
No, it couldn't be, Jim.
Couldn't be about me. Uh-oh. So what's the problem?
You got to get new friends.
But I think maybe I just have to get friends. I don't. I think I have to begin, Rick. I think maybe that may be part of the problem. I know one of the things you've been working on lately and thinking a lot about is decision making and how to get good ideas out on the table and into execution. And talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing, let me start with big organizations, and then I can talk about small businesses. But what often happens in organizations is somebody comes up with an idea, and what they've got to do is they got to go to their boss. And so maybe their boss just doesn't get it, doesn't like it.
Or is threatened. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the idea dies. Or in other cases, the boss goes, hey, that's a good idea. And the boss says, I'll take it forward. And then when the boss goes to someone else, he or she doesn't really get the idea, doesn't know the nuances. And so when the boss is questioned, well, what about this, what about this, it all falls apart. And the same thing can happen in a small family-owned business. I mean, I know one that I work with, things go to the owner. And if the owner says, no, I don't like it, it just dies. Or I already thought about that. It just dies, and I just saw this happen last month, and it's a killer. And I was just reading something. Google, interestingly enough, if anybody can suggest an idea for a new product, so it's not just any idea anywhere, ideas for new products, and then it's put for a vote among everyone. And those
so anybody in Google, any employee in Google, from the receptionist to the chairman, could have an idea for a product, and then then the whole organization votes on it.
Yeah, or I suspect that it's people who want to vote.
Yeah.
But what happens is if it gets enough votes, it means then it gets considered seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's going to be adopted.
Right.
But it means like, okay, well, let's look at that.
We're going to spend time on that.
Exactly. And it doesn't cost a cent. It gets people thinking. So even though I may not be an idea person myself, the fact that I'm seeing something come across and this idea that you came up with, I'm starting to think about, gee, would that be good for our business?
The other thing that's inherent in that too, Rick, is that kind of getting people invested in what's happening and making them believe that you're invested in what they have to say. That kind of a connection, one to another inside of an organization, is an intangible glue that really improves the longevity of employment with a company. I mean, it really holds down the attrition rate, and it's just amazing what that kind of thing does, and how that kind of a feeling that people have about where they work will overcome a lot of other offers from other companies.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for small businesses, attrition can be a huge, huge problem.
Yeah.
You know, and when people feel like they're owners, man, it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, you've got, the average small business out there, if you talk to a Chamber of Commerce executive and you say, okay, what's the makeup of your organization? Let's say they got 1,000 members. He's going to say, well, or she's going to say, well, we've got 1,000 members. 95% of them have employees, 95% are small businesses, and probably 85-90% have less than 10 employees. So that's the typical business out there.
Yeah.
And you take, if you got, so if you've got like a, you know, a 7-employee company is average across the country, you lose one person, look what a percentage that takes out of your operation.
Yep.
And there, yeah, and there's absolutely. no HR company, I mean no HR department there to take to replace that person.
Absolutely. You know, and your listeners have got to know the cost that it takes to replace that person.
It's almost can't be calculated because of the wear and tear that it takes on the operation and the decision makers, the owners who have to replace that person. Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rick Maurer right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. There's Steely Dan for you. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog when you get there. The blog comes Monday through Friday. We update it every weekday, and we'll send it to you, or you can just come and get it at your convenience. And also our newsletter, which we'll send to you by email every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. And thank you to all of you who've been subscribing. We really appreciate that very much, and thank you for the nice comments that you've been sending us. We really appreciate those. And don't forget, lots of other things there, archives, thousands of archives and articles and things that you can use to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Rick Maurer is our guest. He's the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance and Why Don't You Want What I Want. Rick, tell us where they're available, please.
Sure thing. Best place is my website, which is beyondresistance.com.
Right.
Beyondresistance.com.
And what else can we find there? You got a blog up there, too, somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, the blog isn't on the website. It's changemanagementnews.blogspot.com.
Right.
Yeah, Change Management News. And but on the website itself, there are, I think last count, something like 130 kind of free tips on ways to lead change. And many of them are stuff that, you know, that I've used with my clients. In other cases, I've gone out to the people who subscribe to my newsletter and say, hey, so what do you do? You know, how do you keep it alive? How do you get back on track? And so there's a couple of articles that are just filled with ideas from these people, and they're great stuff. I'm just really
so
really
people
pleased.
Have submitted best practices to you.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
And my criteria when I said, look, send me something. Don't send me something you read about.
Right.
Don't send me something you heard about. Tell me something that you did.
Right, your ideas.
Your ideas, or that you were part of. And because I really want it to be practical and something that somebody else can go, man, I could do that. And people really rise to the challenge. It's I'm really pleased with that.
How do we get into the mold of getting ideas out on the table? It begins with being mentally and philosophically prepared to accept other ideas than your own. You got to get over that, the ego thing. That's one thing, but then it becomes almost a mechanical thing, doesn't it? Building the structure.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I mean, you hit it. I mean, the big thing is, am I receptive to ideas from other people? And most mm-hmm. people think they are, and they'd be
wrong.
But most
of us aren't. But we aren't. We're wrong, right?
Mm. Right. And I mean, the small business owner I mentioned earlier, who just I heard in the last month, got some really good ideas and just blew them off. And I suspect if you were to talk to him, he'd go, "No. I'm very open. I've got a talented staff, and I listen to them." You know, and he would believe it. And so the big thing is, you know, and one way to find out about that is to say, all right, in the last 2 weeks, how many people who work for me have come up and given me an idea of any kind? And if the answer is none, then there's a chance that the people just have gotten tired of giving you ideas. If you can say, well, no, I remember Mary came up and said blah, 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 then track that idea. What happened to it? Did it die right away? You'd say, oh, Mary, once you've worked here longer, you'll understand that's not a good idea. But
you just don't understand, Mary.
Exactly. And follow a couple of these ideas through to say, when somebody comes up with an idea, do we take it seriously? And if the answer is no, then to say, all right, what do we need to do to begin to take it seriously? And you could put all the structures in place in the world, and if you're not taking the idea seriously, you've just wasted a ton of time and money.
Well, another thing, Rick, is I admit to being like that guy you were talking about. I think we all are. I mean, look, let's face it. We started a business. Many of us started a business from scratch. I mean, we literally cut this thing out of whole cloth. And it was only us. There was nobody else. There was nobody to ask a question of because it was just us. So we built it. We obviously did something right because we got something. You know, we're still around, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got that in our mind. We've sort of our hard work and dedication and maybe a little bit of luck and maybe a little bit of smarts has created some success. So it's natural that our ego would be elevated a little bit.
Yep.
But here's a little trick that I've learned, and I may have mentioned it to you before, but I really think that you could, if you wonder if your ego has gotten to the point where you're not getting ideas out, ask yourself this question: how many times a day do I look at one of my employees and say, "What do you think?"
That's good.
And if you aren't saying that every day, if you aren't saying that to somebody every day, what do you think? And then shutting up and letting them say what they think.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I'm just trying to come up with a mechanical way to get this out.
Okay, good. All right. I was thinking different kinds of mechanical. I think that's a great thing to do.
I'm talking about mechanical to get the ego out.
Yeah. That's good. Another is, you know, if you're the boss, you're the business owner. Let's say that you've got people out on trucks who are, let's say, doing deliveries or doing something. There might be a whole host of decisions that they could be making without going through you. Mm-hmm. And so simply say to them, hey, look, on these kind of decisions, from now on, go ahead and make them.
Right.
But put boundaries around it. Put limits on it. So you don't want them making big decisions that you're going to go, oh, my God, or oh, my gosh, what's going
to
happen?
You've got to explain to them what it's got to be within their purview, within their experience, their responsibility. When we come back, I want to talk to Rick about what you have to be prepared to say, though, how you have to be prepared to handle a mistake. Tintail, we'll be right back with Rick Maurer. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? And Beyond the Wall of Resistance, two outstanding books that I encourage you to check out, especially if you need a little help with change. And Rick, I think the first thing that people experience, you know, when people say to me, well, you know, what is it, how do I know? You know, how do I know if that's where the problem is? And I tell them, well, you'll start feeling a little pain. You'll start feeling frustration. If you're not managing change well, that's the first emotion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And often it can hit you kind of slowly, like, yeah, there's something wrong here, but you're not even thinking about what it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And
But one of the things that is a change is when you actually have employees, as you mentioned before we went to the break, you actually have employees that you now feel that you can trust to make decisions about in the business as they operate the business. But here's the thing, Rick, if you aren't, whenever you give them that authority to make those decisions within the responsibility of their job, if you aren't prepared to handle any mistakes the right way, then you're going to create, in my opinion, you're going to create a train wreck.
Yes, you are.
And what I think you have to say, and I'd like your thoughts on this, is whenever somebody makes a mistake while they're taking initiative, making a decision, you have to be prepared to say, instead of you're fired or yelling at them or whatever, you have to be prepared to say, okay, what did we learn?
Yep, absolutely. And it's important to distinguish between the mistakes that come from taking initiative and those mistakes that were routine things that person should have been paying attention to.
Bonehead stuff.
But let's say somebody makes a mistake taking initiative, and you take the approach you suggest, which is, hey, what can we learn from this? I think that's perfect. And also say, you know, yeah, I do have, you know, I think, Jim, I appreciate you doing it. I appreciate you taking the risk on this, and it didn't work, and it's going to cost us some money. Here's why. But let's see what we can learn from it. If you then go out and make the same mistake again, do exactly the same thing, then that's a performance problem. But if you go out and you make a different mistake, and it's a creative mistake, because I've said, yeah, but I want you to keep doing stuff, then once again, let's use it as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think of the great inventors, I mean, I know it's been said about Edison, you know, way too many times, but how many times, you know, he failed at doing a light bulb, and he said that's part of the process.
Yeah, success, failure, successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Exactly. And so, but you put boundaries around it so that with, let's say, I've got three people reporting directly to me, one person I might be able to give carte blanche, just go do it. And I just know they're going to do it. Somebody else, I really have to lead them every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be me. It could be I don't have the trust yet. So give them the kind of things that you can say, oh, yeah, you know, he's better. She's better than I thought. And then you can keep expanding it.
And the truth is, Rick, in a small business, the people that you can't turn loose to a reasonable degree, in my opinion, are the people that you probably need to be thinking about finding a replacement for.
That's true.
It's not as easy as it sounds like I just said, as I said, but it is something to think about. I mean, in a small business, if you're going to work, if you're going to fire on all cylinders, everybody's got to be able to you know, make decisions.
Well, that's true. That's true. And decisions with sometimes just within the capacity of their own job.
That's right.
Whether that's working in a warehouse or work, you know, doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny, with a small business, you can really feel it when you walk in and you know that person you're talking to can fix your problem. Could do something.
Yep.
And you walk in someplace else and they just feel like they've been beaten about the head and neck, and they're not going to, you know. I mean, they don't want to take the chance. They don't want to go to their boss and say, hey, we got a complaint. I mean, it's tough on them and it's tough on you.
Well, the reason you go to a small business is because you want solutions.
Yeah.
And when you walk in, if they say, well, you know what, I'm not sure I can fix that, but let's give it a shot here. Well,
yeah.
You're going to have a whole different attitude than the person who says, I don't know, I don't think we can do this.
Oh, man, yeah.
Whole different attitude. And even if they don't fix it, at least you'll know that they tried. Hey, Rick, give us your website again, please.
Sure thing. It's beyondresistance.com.
Thank you for being here, and it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, same for me, Jim.
What's the blog website again, too, please?
It's changemanagementnews.blogspot.com.
Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks, Rick. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back with Giovanni Cortolo and Don Lambro on the other side of the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.